This message was recorded live at the Life Church UK building. We hope that you are truly blessed and encouraged by today's message. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
James chapter 1. Our title of these meetings is Every Good Gift. And I don't know about you, but I look at my life and I consider everything, including myself, a gift of God. Everything. My marriage. We've been married for a little over 40 years. Our children, our grandchildren, this congregation, this building. You know, we couldn't find a building when we started 34 years ago. And we were meeting in our home, and then we met in the dance hall down the road here at Leascliffe Pavilion. And we were needing a place. And we looked everywhere. And Virginia and I drove around here. I said to her, I'm going to walk in there and ask them to sell me that building. She said, I'm not coming. Like, oh no. And I walked in and I said at the front desk, I'd like to buy this building. And within a minute, the boss came down. And he said, let me show you around. And he showed me around the whole building. This was a book bindery where they put books together. And he said, he showed me a photo that the building was for sale for £1 million. £1 million. He said, but I'll make you an offer. I said, well, that's a good start. And he wrote down £750,000. We were paying £400 a month. We didn't have any money, but he didn't know that. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, and I said, well, since you've started this, how about I make you a counter offer? He said, what do you have in mind? I said, $250,000. And, well, he went down by $250,000. So he said, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mosbach, I can't do it. We have two other partners. They wouldn't be able to accept that. I said, how about this? I lease that part of the building. You move everything in here. Gives you more income. Gives me a building to worship God. And the Lord gave me a figure in my mind, £15,000 a year. And when we measured it up, it came exactly to £15,000 a year. And then 3 years later, the Lord said to me one morning, or 4 years later, buy the building. And I went to go see it. I said, it's time. He said, it's time. I said, $225,000. He said, done. And we bought it for $225,000. We still didn't have any money. But the Lord said to me, they'll come from the north and with tears give you what you ask. And I found a bank called the Kingdom Bank. I called them. They came over and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They said, how much do you want? I said, this is what I want. They said, done. You see, God is able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask, hope, or pray according to his power at work in us. And what we may never forget, but we all naturally do, all of us, it's the human nature that we have power. It's the human nature. And forgetting spiritually is like hunger. Remembering spiritually is like eating. Like you feel hungry, you eat something, the feeling goes away. The hunger feeling is a signal you need nourishment. Yes? Or the thirst feeling you need to be quenched, that thirst. It's the signal. And the spirit in us is constantly signaling, as the Bible says in Romans 8, with groanings and yearnings, we don't know how to explain that we have them, pulling for us to be fed from above, to be given that inclination, that knowing of this power that overcomes the world. And I want to show you this power today, because when we talk about every good gift, God has more in mind than we think. One man did some work for somebody in the Middle East, and the man said, what would be your birthday gift that you would love to have? He said, oh, I would like to have a club for my golf game.
He meant one club. And he was sent a whole club. 18 holes. That's worth multi millions. So his thought was small compared to that other man's thoughts. Our thoughts are usually too small. They usually are. And that's why the Lord says, your thoughts, not my thoughts. Your ways, not my ways, in Isaiah 55. God has thoughts for us that are bigger and more awesome, and he would like us to rise up to those thoughts. And that's my message for today. Let's rise up to the thoughts of our loving Heavenly Father. Let's rise up to a height you never have known, never have been, never even thought of, never even known how to pray for. And I know that when we think that, we often try to pigeonhole that in something we're maybe needing. God has plans for our lives that go far beyond what we could imagine. And he would like us to rise to it. Come on. I believe this is a day we're going to rise to heights we've never even thought of. And don't count yourself out. My mother, I saw her this week. She's 96. Oh, if you saw the life manifesting in that woman when we prayed together. And all of her senses came alive and she began praying in the Holy Ghost and prophesying. And it was heaven on earth. It was glory, glory. Anyway, my mother, when she was 86, I think, or so, so it's a few years ago, she asked my sister for me to come. So I went over there and said, Ma, you want me to come? What do you need? I mean, when has my mom ever asked me, come, I need you. So I go over there. I said, what do you need? She said, I was praying and praying, Robert. And I was saying, Jesus, I want to do something for you. I said, Mom, do something. You have two prayer meetings every week at your age. What do you mean you want to do something? She said, please, as in, shut up. It's good when mom is still mom. You know what I mean? Because we kids think we can take over sometimes. She said, no, Robert. I really believe the Lord has something for me. He has something. I can feel it in my spirit. So I said, Lord, please. He said, ask Robert to come pray for you. She got on her knees. I mean, just so embarrassed me because she's such a holy woman. I laid hands on her, and the moment I prayed, I said, wow, Mom, they're going to ask you to go to all the churches, no matter how physically difficult it is. Do it, because whatever you say, the Lord will do it. She called me back a few weeks later. She was asked to go to all the churches there. She was shouting through the phone, I'm becoming famous, I'm becoming famous. It was just so funny because she's such a humble heart. She said, everything I said, the Lord did it immediately. God has things for you. God has things for you. Say, God has something for me. Oh, glory to God when you rise up with new enthusiasm and with fresh expectation and Holy Ghost anticipation. Something is bubbling in my spirit. Something wonderful is about to happen. Come on, wake up in Jesus' name. God wants to pull us out of our miry feelings, low feelings, into his heavenly holy feelings. So, James chapter 1, verse 17, I've read it to you every week. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The Father of lights speaks of God, the Creator, the lights, the heavenly host. And you see, on earth, we could do a bit with some holy, heavenly worship. I really feel the worship here, Pastor Simon. My, I feel it's rising. And it needs to rise to a whole nother level of revelation. That when you're here in the worship service, if you could sing or not sing, you're just part of the worship. Worship is not only by making noises. It's by acknowledging, by recognizing, by giving glory, giving honor, giving praise. It is something that we all need. We need heavenly worship. And in heaven, it says in Revelation 4, verse 10, they are around the throne. and they fall down before him who sits on the throne and cast their crowns before him who lives forever and ever, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In heaven, they celebrate creation. We are living in a world where that is not anymore thought of, at least not by as many as we should. I personally believe heaven, and I believe the Word, and I believe in my God that He is able to say, let there be light, and there is light. I believe in my God, the great creator of heaven and earth. And David was somebody who said, Lord, the heavens, the firmament, the expanse of heaven declare your glory and your majesty. Who is man and what is man that you are mindful of him and that you would visit him? David was somebody who, like Abraham, knew how to look up and give God glory. And I think it's so important, friends, that you know which way to look when all feels heavy and dark and impossible and hopeless, or when you're maybe confronted with, I could have, I should have, I blew it. Oh, and the devil says, yeah, and God tried to keep you, and God tried to stop you, but you didn't listen, so now it's over. That's never the voice of your Heavenly Father. That's always the voice of the devil that jumps on the bandwagon of despair to take you down with him to the pit of destruction. But there is a power much greater, and it's the power of God's love that will lift you out of despair, that will lift you out of the hopelessness, that will lift you out of your own mistakes and shortcomings, which we all have and have had. There's not one person sitting here today that hasn't had their shortcomings. Can they hear an amen? Amen. But the Lord has been merciful to us all and has been gracious to us all. And the Lord has lifted us out of a deep pit, and he's put our feet upon a solid rock and put a new song in our mouth of praise to God. David never ceased to praise God despite all the hell he went through in his life. If you ever think you've made too many mistakes, read about David. If you ever feel your life has had too many mishaps, read about David. If you ever think that what else can go wrong, Lord? If I love you and obey you and serve you, how come? How come? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I mean, you read 2 Corinthians 11. Shipwreck, nights without sleep, been robbed, been beaten, been imprisoned. I mean, what else can go wrong? People think that when you're walking with the Lord, that you're not going to have any troubles and hardships. No, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, praise the Lord that we have somebody on our side fighting our battles. Think about one person that's a great inspiration to Virginia and I. Job. I am so grateful for the book of Job. It is the oldest book in the Bible. It was before the days that Genesis was written. It was in the days of the patriarchs that Job lived and wrote that book. You take, for example, that statement that David makes there in Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him, which is also in the book of Hebrews. It is such an anointed statement that came out of Job. Job was an inspiration to the fathers of faith. If he was an inspiration for the fathers of faith, he ought to be an inspiration for you and me. And in Job, the Heavenly Father draws back the curtain
when he shows in Job that all the blessings he had came from God, and then shows as he draws back the curtain that there's an adversary who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. In Jesus, God does it again. He draws back the curtain and he shows you there's an adversary against whom you need authority and over whom you need power to be able to resist him and see him flee instead of devour. And it's called the devil, the opposer, the deceiver. The word devil means deceiver. The word Satan means opposer. And here, Job was going through hell because that's the devil. He brings hell. He was going through hell. And I find those 42 chapters so inspiring. And Job had a struggle, listen closely, that is brought about by the presence of Satan. And the presence of Satan is very strong in the world, in all the darkness today. And what? How do you know that? Because there's so much confusion. Confusion, hopelessness, despair. People, nations are feeling there's no hope. Everything's going down the tube. Everything is going wrong. And governments are under the cloud of darkness and are either ignorant of the need or they're completely confused what to do about it. And that's the presence of the wicked one. When he is exposed in the last day, when Jesus comes, we will all look upon him and say, he was the one that destroyed the nations and devoured the inhabitants thereof. That's what we were afraid of. Deception is the force of darkness. Confusion, where you can't think straight. It's like this pastor called me some years ago and he said, Pastor Robert, can you help me? I don't feel the presence of the Lord. And instantly the Spirit came up in me. I said, it's not the absence of the Lord you feel, it's the presence of the devil you feel. And he's a liar. His presence is deception. Because the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. It's the forces of darkness that don't make you feel it, but you can rise above them. You can triumph over them. You can rule over them. But Job was in that cloud of the devil's oppression. And his big battle was, if I walk with God and do what's right with God, why? His three friends, they were religious. And on their mindsets, they were trying to reason the situations. Folks, reason is important. To be able to reason things out, even the Lord says, come on, in Isaiah 1:18, let's reason together. Let's discuss this together. So there's nothing wrong with reasoning, but some things you can't fix by reasoning. You need supernatural power. You need divinity to show up. You need God to show up. You need God to show up. You cannot just say, well, I believe. No, you need him to show up. You need to become so demanded of his presence that you can't live without it. And Hosea talks about this. All of you whose hearts have grown crusty spiritually and who have become hardened to the spiritual revelations of God, come and break up that uncultivated ground, for you need the Lord. You need him. Your heart again needs to become tender to perceive him, to recognize him. You need him. And here Job was going through this enormous struggle and those three friends of him were trying to reason it all. But what they could not give him that Job needed was an encounter with God. And Job said to his three friends, he said, I wish there was somebody here who could put his arm around my shoulder and his arm around God's shoulder and bring us together. I wish somebody could put their arm around me who has their arm around God and bring us together. But you are even afraid to sympathize with me because you think I'm under God's judgment. However, anybody should show sympathy when his friend is needing it, even if he's in the wrong place with God. Job says these things. Job talked about grace and mercy in a way that is New Testament language.
And what was Job's answer, folks? God showed him his handiwork. God showed him the great creation. You read it there in Job chapter 40, 41. God showed him the great handiwork, the great creation. And Job said to the Lord, I know there's nothing that you cannot do. And there is no purpose that can be withheld from you. Oh, I love Job despite all his hell. In verse 2 of Job 42, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. You see, God is more visible than we realize. He is visible in all that he has made. And the Lord wants us to join heaven and have a new birth of worship. How great thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Oh, friends, we used to sing it and sing it when I was a young boy in church, and we would just worship and worship and worship, and we were caught up in the greatness of God with whom nothing is impossible. Many times, folks, the gifts are bursting forth from heaven's throne room of grace, but we are ignorant they're available to all of us. Because we don't look up and see the greatness of God. We need a new birth of worship. A new birth of worship. How often in my journey, when my life was overwhelmed by the trials of this life, the Lord led me to that place of worship, to that place of praise that heaven is so gloriously full of, and drew me up into that heavenly, holy host of praise. The Bible says we are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, lest you be discouraged and disheartened. How important it is, friends, that we look up and believe that the great creator of heaven and earth cares about us enough to come and be among us, and more than that, come and live within us. Live within us. Oh, I tell you the truth. Sometimes we look up and we say, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 122, I think, says that. You know, and we look up and the Lord says, amen. I, who made the heavens and the earth, have come to live in you by my Spirit. And I am working the answer from within. And I think that is a very important part that I want to close this message with. Listen to this. Jesus Christ, whose house we are, he is the one, it says here, through whom God created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them all in order. He, Jesus Christ, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying, the radiance of the divine. He is that perfect imprint of the very image of God's nature, upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Jesus. This Jesus comes to live within us and wants to work the answers in us and through us. What is the great discovery that you want to have to see this power on a day-to-day basis? In John 5, verse 19, remember the man at the pool of Bethesda who had been there ill for 38 years. Remember? And Jesus found him. There were many people there, but he found him. a beautiful scene of this you can watch in the series called The Chosen. Oh, I love that scene. I love it. If you've not heard it, Google it, The Chosen, and watch that scene where Jesus comes to him. And he said, would you like to walk? Well, first he walks up. He said, I'd like to talk to you. He says, me? You want to talk to me? Yeah, to you. So he gets up. He said, would you like to walk? And he said, I have nobody to help me. Everybody gets in before me. And a lot of people live there. I have nobody. Nobody cares. I don't have nowhere to go for help. I don't know what to do. Anybody ever felt that way? And Jesus says, would you like to walk? And he finally stops complaining and crying to him, and understandably so. And Jesus said, come on, let's go. Let's get up. And he gets up and walks. The Creator shows up and brings a beautiful answer. And the people watched this. And they looked at Jesus and said, wow, how did you do that? Where did this power come from? How were you able to do this? How can I come out? How can I come out of the it's not happening? How can I come out of I don't know where to go for answers anymore? How can I come out of that stalemate? How can I come out of this? You know, Pastor, I have to admit, I've prayed and prayed. It just, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I'm not seeing it. How can I come out of that? Anybody there? Anybody in that place? Jesus looked at them. He said, well, I can do nothing. Read it, John 5:19. I can do nothing except what the Father shows me. And the Father loves me. And he shows me all things that he does. And he will show me greater things than these so that you may marvel. Jesus came to show you and me the love of our Father. And when our hearts begin to again look up to him and say, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. And you just keep saying, Father, thank you for loving me. And you keep looking to the love of our God who created the heavens and the earth for all of us to enjoy, who wants and desires to express himself, to be revealed in us and through us. It will take your eyes off of the problem. It will take your eyes off of the stalemate. It's not happening. And you look to him, like David says. And they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. And they heard, and the Lord heard their cry and delivered them out of all of their fears. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Today, like Job, this could be the turning point. I would say it this way. Today, like Job, it is the turning point for our lives. What was the turning point? When Job saw the greatness of God and said, there's nothing you cannot do. There's nothing that can be withheld from you. I heard about you, but now I see you in all you've made. And he came into a new place of worship. Worship, worship. Father, I worship you for loving me and giving your son to live in my heart and making me a new creation. Father, I know there's nothing you cannot do. I trust you for the answers. I trust you, Father. It's in your hands. All that I am and all that I have comes from you, for you give me all that I need. My future is in your hands, Father. I trust you. Come on, lift your hands. I trust you, Father. I believe you love me. You've given your son for me while I was yet a sinner. How much more now that I'm your child will you do for me through his life? I believe, Father. I believe, Father, and I give you praise. I'm no more in despair. I'm in praise. I'm no more in hopelessness. I'm in worship. I'm in admiration. I'm in admiration of your greatness and glory. I worship you over these circumstances. I worship you over these circumstances. I worship you, Holy God. I praise you, glory to God. Let's stand together. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Yeah, it's worth it to wait upon the Lord. It's worth it to keep looking to him. It's worth it not to give up faith, but to persevere in faith and to hold fast in faith. And we have a whole cloud of witnesses to urge us on, to charge us on, to say, Abraham will say to you today, come on now, my wife was barren. What's your problem? What's your problem? My wife was 90 years old. What's your problem? And I believed God, and I had faith that he would do. I believe. Now, come on, follow me. Believe. Abraham would say, come on, snap out of it. Snap out of that despair and complaining. Come on, believe. Abraham would help you snap out. Isaac would say, we believe God. And then finally, my wife gets pregnant and all hell's breaking loose while she's pregnant. She's in so much suffering. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. My wife couldn't bear it anymore. She prayed to the Lord. She said, Lord, if this is you, why do I have so much problem in my pregnancy? The Lord says, you've got two nations in your belly fighting each other. Thanks, Lord. But Isaac and Rebecca could charge you on. Jacob and Leah and Rachel could. Come on. The whole scripture is there to charge us on, to look to him with whom nothing is impossible. Can I hear an amen? If you need to get right with God, put your hand on your heart. If you know Christ needs to come in your heart because you're going after sin instead of going after God, you need Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I repent of all my sins and ask you forgive me. I know I've sinned and I repent. I turn to you. Cleanse me. Wash me in your precious blood. Make me white as snow. I'm yours, Jesus. Save me. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us that like Job, oh, what a turning point. What a turning point. That you've given us Job as an example not to grow weary, but to keep trusting and believing. That today is a turning for each and every one of our lives, and that we will see the great answers you have waiting for us in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Now, next Sunday morning, I know it's Christmas morning, but I would encourage you, don't miss it. And then Christmas Eve next Sunday, and we'll be back here at 6:30 next Sunday night. Yeah, so I look forward to see you then. Have a wonderful week. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless.
Thank you for listening to our message today. We hope you feel encouraged, blessed, and strengthened for the week ahead. If there's anything you need, anything we can do at all to help and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by visiting our website at www.lifechurchuk.org.